This is the Friday, May 18, 2018 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. The commodity markets began Monday's session looking at weather and trade, mostly ignoring Capitol Hill's farm bill debate. For the week, July wheat put 20 cents back on the board, while the nearby corn contract added 6 cents. Even as Chinese buyers continued to avoid U.S. ports, the July soybean contract held on to slip only a nickel. July meal dropped to 30 per ton. In the softs, nearby cotton stretched $1.93 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, June Class 3 milk futures lost 23 cents. The livestock sector was mixed as cattle took it on the chin, with the June cattle contract falling $6.20, August feeders dropping $6.27, and the June lean hog contract putting on 30 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index skyrocketed 113 ticks. Crude oil stayed above $70, adding 58 cents per barrel. COMEX gold plunged $29.40 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index rose nearly 5 points to settle at 489.20. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends are two of our regular market analysts. First, we have Elaine Cubb, and we also have Walt Hackney. Elaine, Walter, good to see you both.
Good to be here.
Walter, give us notes for a minute. I'm going to grill Elaine first. We have to ask you a question about bulls, so I know you want to answer it right away. Are the bulls, Elaine, are they eating this crop condition news in wheat, or what is feeding this wheat market?
You know, that could turn around really fast here on Monday given the weather over the weekend. I think a greater question is, why aren't they being attracted into that spring wheat market? That has just as much of a bullish dry weather story when you look up on the Canadian prairies, where they say it's just like a hot air, like a hair dryer blowing on those prairies. So the bullishness you'd think should be shared across all of the wheat classes, and we didn't see that this week. But yeah, obviously we've got bullish stories in wheat and lots of commodities. The whole sector seems to be inflating a little bit at the moment.
So let's talk that July contract up almost 4%. But can it continue to feed? I mean, we had a little bit of rain in Oklahoma and Kansas, but not enough to save a crop, did we?
No, I wouldn't think so. And I think there's observations that some of that is already being grazed. You know, it's gone. Some of it's gone. So yeah, maybe that's part of that bullishness, but I think the potential here is for it to turn around. I think it's a much greater chance for this to turn back lower and correct itself.
All right, so are you making a sale then right now?
I think that's a fine idea to take this opportunity that came about for not a lot of fundamental reasons. Maybe came about because of outside markets, maybe came about because of other external things, but this is perhaps an opportunity.
All right, let's move to corn now, and that is trending higher, but the big question, though, is this peaking too early?
Well, you know, time frame-wise, I think we expect to see seasonal highs in the spring sometime after things get planted. I think this would be an early seasonal high for, again, no great reason. This is not the period of the crop progression that when the crop is at its greatest, you know, risk. So I think there's the potential for more risk premium as the summer goes on, although at this point we have no reason to believe that there will be a weather problem. The NOAA is actually expecting even the drought or the dryness in southern Iowa to recede or to normalize as summer goes on. So there's not a lot of bullishness from the weather story for corn right now. And yeah, why is it going up so much? I think it's related to the outside commodities, to oil, for instance, you mentioned being over $70.
Right.
We could get, you know, just the idea that the energy demand, perhaps higher octane blends, perhaps
the
greater
ethanol
demand.
Is leaving the station.
This is a possibility. That could be something that is motivating people to come into this corn market that does have that trend story that it's telling. But I think there is certainly that risk that the oil or these gasoline prices that the U.S. consumer sees as they go into summer driving season, without actually demonstrating that there's greater consumer spending, there's not greater household spending, I think that could shock people. And the whole commodity sector could be overheating right now, and we could see things pull back in June.
The overall sector.
Yes.
So the story for May is get some sales made, because who knows what June's going to bring?
Let it churn higher, and I'm not saying that there won't be a weather rally, that there might be some higher prices in June or July. We've seen that in the past couple of years. But I do feel fairly confident saying that prices will be lower at harvest. You know, that's, we don't have a reason to worry about overall production in this country right now. We're probably going to have ample supplies, and I feel confident saying that price will be lower at harvest.
So deferred wise, would you be, you said let it churn. Would you let it churn both nearby and deferred right now on those months? Or is it time to make a sale?
I think there's more urgency in selling the old crop than the new crop, because when you talk about that weather risk story, that would be more of a new crop story.
All right. Soybeans. This is a much bigger story on a global spectrum right now. The sorghum news that came out earlier today. Explain that a little bit for us, what that means and why that matters to soybeans.
Well, actually, it matters to corn. Let's back up to why corn is going up 5 cents today. Milo sorghum is hedged on corn futures, so the commercial outlook for exporting milo or sorghum will be reflected in that corn futures market, which we saw this week. But it implies, you know, China came in and said that it wasn't in the best interest of the public to be having these tariffs, having these duties on these products. So if that's a hint at what they might do in the future for soybeans, for their pork industry, that is something that hopefully we might see in coming weeks.
All right. So that's important. Soybean-wise, we do talk about sorghum. The real in Brazil is dropping, lowest in nearly 2 years.
Yeah.
Russia making sales to China. China not buying U.S. soybeans for now directly.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that somebody still
hint,
has to fill. You think the hint is enough to spook this market?
Hopefully. And so you mentioned the real going lower. The Argentine currency is also very volatile. So the Argentinian farmers have not been selling their soybeans or have not been very willing to sell their soybeans. Those things kind of cancel each other out. And that's sort of been the story all week in soybeans, is that one rumor canceled out another rumor. Export news was canceled out by export cancellations. Everything was just, is up in the air and we wait and see what happens.
All right. So, Walter, this trade talk is dramatically important to grain, but it's even more imperative when it comes to livestock. Which one of the trade stories are you watching on a complex as a whole and the most important to producers?
I was listening intently to what Elaine was saying in regard to China and the pork. That one is, I think, the deciding factor in our entire meat spectrum right now. Is what do they do in regard to export and the tariff issues as it pertains to China? And pork is estimated to be extraordinary numbers coming at us as we get toward the third quarter of this year. We're really looking at a blessing in disguise if they can keep this corn going up, because as a result of that, we're going to reduce the tonnage of pork availability, as it would also involve beef feedlot cattle.
Because the cost to feed the herd is too high, therefore I'm not going to expand. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's human nature as a cattleman or as a pork producer that as the markets deteriorate on you, the cash markets, then you start looking at your cost of production and your impulse is to feed it out of them if the product is cheap enough. But if it continues to appreciate, as Elaine has suggested possibly, then it's an offsetting factor. And so I'm sitting here feeling a little bit like a catbird seat, because I wonder if we haven't misread this market as we go into the third quarter of this year on beef and pork. We're going to have plenty of numbers. We're conceded that. But the fact remains, the tonnage may not be there.
Well, it's like you've been talking to Chad in Dunbar, Nebraska, because he had a question very similar to the point, and it came via our Twitter page or Facebook page at Market to Market or IPTV Market on Facebook. And Chad in Dunbar is asking, Walt, are we currently seeing this wall of cattle coming to market now?
I don't believe the wall of cattle is going to affect our cash market program. If it would have happened this past week when we dropped 10 to 12 bucks a hundredweight cash on these cattle in the feedlots. That was paralyzing to the industry. There was no wall of cattle involved. The packer is making a lot of money on the cattle. He killed one of the heavier kills for the year, 120 head of cattle in one day this week. That shows that it's not an issue with the packer. It is not an issue in the distribution of the beef product, because beef cutout went up also. What happened was the opportunity for the buyer to take a shot at the feedlots, and the feedlots were sitting there listening to these walls of cattle coming at them, and they thought, it's happening, it's happening. It's like the what do you call that, Elaine, the tsunami?
Yeah, there you go.
It was similar to a tsunami out here in regard to the wall of cattle. It isn't that. We're not long. The feedlots are liquidating cattle as quickly as they can. We don't have an overfeeding issue. We don't have an overweight issue. It's psychology.
So that chart, Walt, though, on August feeders is trending lower. The question everybody's going to want to know is the low here, or do we have more room to go down?
That's a point that's difficult. I had a long conversation with one of the biggest farmer feeder, cattle feeders in the state of Kansas last night. And in that context, he's marketing, as we speak, 6,500 head, which is not abnormal for him at any one given time. But he's throwing them in the market. He's getting rid of them. He's taking the 14 and 13 and the 15 to get them gone. But I said, Scott, what are you doing in regard to the other cattle that are sitting in behind them that I put in his feedlots here in the last few months? He said, I'll tell you what I'm doing. He said, I, today at 9:05 yesterday morning, he said, I bought 175 loads of live cattle contracts. I said, well, then you are a cockeyed optimist. And he said, I truly am. He said, what do you think, Walt? And I said, you know what? I think we bottomed the market. And I think we did. I think that 12, 13, 14, that's a dollar, 12, 13, 14 money that was out there this week. I think it was nothing more than a huge trap. And I think the cattle feeder fell for it. I think he's like the rat in the trap. To heck with the cheese, just let me out. And he dumped cattle, and he got rid of them at whatever the market was.
All right, hold on to that insight. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Before I let you go, Elaine, on the main program here, oil, you talked about it briefly. This thing's north of 70. There's a report this week it could go to 80. Where do you see it in the next, let's say, 3 months?
I think there's so much geopolitical uncertainty in that, right? The only reason that it went above 70 is the concern about Iran. So it's...
If that plays out,
or if OPEC can sustain that, it's problems for the summer.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine. That's Elaine Cubb, and that was Walter Hackney. Thank you very much to the two of you. And that does wrap up the broadcast portion of this television program we call Market to Market. But we will keep the conversation going on Market Plus, where we'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at iptv.org/MTOM. And while you are there, click on the link to our Flipboard magazine, Market to Market reading material. Our producers assemble several stories daily into one convenient location for news impacting rural America. And join us again next week when we explore how businesses in Louisiana are helping shore up the Gulf Coast. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Paul Yeager. Have a great week.